Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, and we're recording in Sydney, and I'm joined by two women in cyber, and in fact, cyber twins, Nushin Shabab and Naga Shabab. Ladies, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Chris, for having us.
Good. I was hoping you would both say the same thing at the same time, being twins. Now, Nushin, you're a senior researcher with Kaspersky Lab. And Naga, you are an application security consultant with PSNC Group.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about both your backgrounds, how you both got into cyber, and also then your current roles. And we'll also talk about malware analysis and application security.
Sure.
Also. So we won't rush into it. I think being twins, I was about to say, who's the oldest here? There must be one of you. Okay, Naga. So maybe we'll kick off with you. Your background, how you got into cyber. You have a computer science degree, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yes. What's been your journey and how different have they been?
Actually, it is quite similar. It goes back to ages ago when we were two little kids.
Yeah.
Playing with board games and trying to solve puzzles. Be really interested in solving puzzles and stuff. Even we make escape rooms for each other to challenge each other to find the way out. Yeah. And since then, we found this feeling of achieving the solution and solving the problem really fulfilling. So, and then when we were in elementary school, we got introduced to computer programming.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the same feeling as we had in our childhood memories. And from that time, we both knew that we want to have our career in computer programming. In computing, but not particularly in cybersecurity.
Right.
Yeah, but after we graduate from our bachelor's in computer science, we got introduced to a cybersecurity company, and the interview challenges was the process was. It was mostly reverse engineering, and it was involved with problem solving and finding. Finding a solution of kind of puzzle things. So it was the time we jumped into cybersecurity, and it was really interesting for us.
Was it your first job, was it, straight into cybersecurity or a security role for a security company?
Yeah, exactly. It was our first professional job
right. Together.
Yeah.
And Nushin, we've covered some of your work in the past, and you are still doing malware analysis. How long have you been doing this now in terms of malware analysis?
I'm still doing malware analysis. It's been in total maybe 7 years,
right?
Maybe more. I used to work for like the old company that Negar was mentioning for a couple of years. And then when I moved to Australia, I was looking for a job. Then I found a role with Kaspersky Lab with the research team. And it was interesting because it was one of the few roles that I saw relevant to my background. I was quite lucky to find the role. And I passed the challenge, part of the interview process, and I got the job, and it's been like three years with Kaspersky, almost 3 years.
And that's an interesting point. What was part of that interview process? What was the challenge that you had to do?
So for me, first of all, as like the normal process of hiring processes, I had an interview with HR team, and then for the technical interview, I can say that this was the only... I've actually been interviewed by many big companies in Australia, big telecommunication, big banks, different companies. My hiring process with Kaspersky was the only one that I really found interesting. It was that I had a technical interview as usual, and at the end of the interview, the hiring manager, which is my current manager at the moment, he asked me to look at a very new piece of malware. So he gave me this malware, and it was a very it was super new, unknown to everyone. You couldn't find anything online about the file, and it was even written in a certain programming language that I was not familiar with. So I had 1 week to look at it. It was a piece of exploit code. They asked me to look at the code and see if I can find the exploit, like the payload and the like main part of the main malicious part of the code. And for me, it was another challenge to overcome. So I spent, to be honest, day and night working on it for 1 week, and I went as deep as I could. And they initially asked me to prepare like 1, 2, or 3 pages report. At the end, I summarized everything, and it ends up like a 15 page report with just like, from my perspective, only high level information. And then I sent this back to the hiring team. And when I talked to the hiring manager over the it was a Skype call, he was very impressed with the result, and it was very interesting for me. It was a very good experience, and it and the reward was interesting role that I have.
Do you two bounce off each other as well, as both? Naga, you're a consultant, and your sister's a researcher in the same field. What's it like around the dinner table? I imagine you talk about work much, and you share ideas and you've learnt together.
We used to work together for the old company, and it was really helpful for us to share our knowledge. We were working for different subgroups under big umbrella of malware analysis team. So since that time, we help each other by giving our opinion about the other's work and projects we were working on. And at the moment, it's similar. We share whatever we're working on, if it is not confidential.
Yes.
Yeah, so it really helps that we can bring different perspectives to our role.
What's involved in a malware analysis? Just, can you break that down for the audience as to what would you, if you're looking at a piece of sort of an exploit kit or a piece of malware, what are some of the features that you'd start to look at first?
So first of all, we deal with different kind of malwares and different kind of cyber attacks. What I particularly do is working on APTs, which stands for Advanced Persistent Threats. It means these are the attacks from the targeted attacks, the big attacks that has specific targets, and the people behind these attacks are usually very well funded groups that work on development and on delivery of the attack and malware components, either cyber criminal groups or state-sponsored groups. So what involves in the process of the full research is first of all, finding and collecting all the components of the attack. And as far as I go further into the research, I collect more and more components of the attack, because the picture gets more clear as you go further and you do the analysis. One part is doing reverse engineering on the malware components. If there is a piece of a script code looking at what it does, if it's complicated or if it's obfuscated, which is a technical term, which means that the code is written in a way that is not very human readable. So we try to reverse the process and see the clear code, and then if it's a compiled file, which is like executable file, then when it's the time that you decompile and disassemble the code and look at the assembly line of the code, the different parts of the attack, like the network traffic, you check the websites or servers of the attackers, IP addresses of the attackers, you check who is behind this, who has registered this website before. Is this IP before was assigned to another website? What was that website for? And then gradually you try to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to find out about the nature of the attack, what was the intention, who was behind the attack. And it's not just the technical part, you have to do the more high level analysis as well, because it involves like the geopolitical situation of the countries. You have to understand about how businesses work with their competitors or with the other business that they work to be able to understand the intention and
yep.
what was the real nature of that.
So you take obviously a forensic approach as well, but also sort of an investigative approach as to why that APT would be invented in the first place and why it's targeting.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, we actually look at the technical components and then the high level analysis as well.
I suppose that's where that intelligent intelligent challenge comes from, and the enjoyment, yeah, in terms of taking on a sort of putting the investigator's hat on and diving in.
That's exactly the interesting part. You have to take care of everything. It's not just getting deep into the technical lines of the code. You have to keep other skills of yourself sharp as well, more high level knowledge that you require for the role is also interesting.
So you have to understand the context that APT is operating in.
Exactly.
Nagar, in terms of application security, why did you make that move on from, you were doing malware analysis as well, moving into AppSec, and why the transition and how much of a difference has it been for you?
That's a good question. When I was working for the old company as a junior malware analyst, after a while, I found my interest in more in non-executable malwares, and I started working on both analysis and development side of the things. So we developed different. Me and my team, because I came up with the idea of dedicating one team to handle these kind of malwares. We started developing some different modules for detection and analysis of these kind of malwares, as well as manually analyzing these malwares. So I found out that I also interested in software development, and when I did my master's in software engineering, I really wanted to shift a little bit to software development to combine these two interests, security and software development together. So application security was a good choice for me.
What trends are you seeing in application security? Is it not becoming more automated? You need sort of a lot of automation for that, for the code checking, I suppose, in terms of applications?
Yeah, it is. It involves with lots of automation, but you need to know the concepts, because there are different tools for automating the process, but it really depends on the platform and the language you use. It's more important you should know the concepts and you can, you would be able to do it manually. It is about the different stages of software development or application development, what you need to do to make sure it is secure enough. And yeah, you're right, you can automate the whole process, but it needs some knowledge to do that.
Do you think it's getting better in terms of the code that is being written now compared to a few years ago? Do you think, from what you're observing?
Definitely, yeah, because this application security, or if you say DevSecOps,
yeah,
it is kind of a new concept.
Or should it be SecDevOps? That's the other.
Yeah, people say different things.
Yes,
and
we've
people
just
have different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that. So some people think that you should first say sec because it should come at the beginning of the process, and some people say it should be in the middle because, I don't know, people have different reasons for that. So it is the same thing.
Okay. Well, I think we've actually raised previously, they are different things. I think DevSecOps is developing security operations versus SecDevOps, which is security development operations. I think is putting security into the developments of whatever that development is.
Hmm.
So we've had discussions around that where we did break it down, and
there
is a difference, but I think people do forget that there are, you know, using it in different contexts, there are different sort of connotations to those terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Even overusing them at some point. So anyway, that's the conversation we just had.
Yeah, that's interesting. People have different compelling arguments on both sides.
So let's maybe move on to one, the skills. I think the early skills, you obviously have that interest in computer programming. I'm assuming you're both pretty good at maths. And how much of an influence did your parents have driving you to into this field? Or did you just find yourselves, you're both highly intelligent human beings, did you just find yourself automatically going there?
So it's actually true. We are both big fan of mathematics, but I can say that we were not like the best students in all fields of mathematics in the school. We liked our own, like we had our own interests in mathematics as well. But how our parents influenced us in this path was, I can say, first of all, both of my parents are teachers.
Right.
So they were good in encouraging and teaching and educating us, and they were looking for good schools or good education, like institutes and systems to put us in. So we were in year 5, I guess, in a school that we looked for a good school to move on for, like middle school. Then we knew about a special school, which was for the middle school and high school, 7 years. And it had an entrance exam. In that exam, you would mainly they would mainly test your mathematics and like science, not in a very scientific way, but in like understanding the science and having like understanding of the fundamentals. So we competed for that competition and we passed the exam. So we were lucky to get into this school. It's called the School for Special Talents, something like this. So for the rest of our study in school, for the last 7 years, we were in this school. And in this school, there were lots of opportunities to get help and get more encouraged and understand what your real talent is. I think one of the reasons that we found our talent in computer science was a group in our school. When we were in middle school, there was a group of high school students. They were competing in national and like international tests for like physics, chemistry, mathematics, every science field. So they would write down some of the questions for these competitions or exams and put them on a board middle school classes. And without knowing that this question is from like computer science exam, we would go and look at the questions. We tried, we still have some of the like gifts, the cards that they give to the winners of people who can solve the problems. So after solving a few problems, they told us that these are the computer science puzzles or problems that you are solving. And we realized that maybe we have talent in this field. And of course, we got more encouraged and interested in this field. So yeah, I think this was like the journey that our parents helped us to get into.
What are your thoughts on women in, I suppose it's a broader conversation around women in STEM and girls in STEM, and then women in security, women in cyber security. I suppose, what's your observations? I imagine, has there been any limits provided? Do you think, you know, what's some of the reason why women are so underrepresented in the industry? When both of you have come through and taken that journey.
I think I can say that, yes, I agree. Women are very underrepresented in this field, not only in our field, in all fields of technology. I don't know what the reason is, but I think it's better to think about the solution now.
Yeah.
Because we can't change what was the reason. It's in the past. But for the future and for solving the problem, we have tried our own ways, and we are still trying to take our part in solving the problem and encouraging more women and trying to get more women involved in the field. We have done different events in our company to encourage more women. We have prepared panel discussions or events around women in this field, and we try to bring in very successful women in this field to show young girls or high school students, university students, to see that women can be successful in this field. Like men, it's not just a field that men can succeed in. So, yeah, apart from that, we have done different things. One example is a workshop that we did together, me and Negar. We did together for RMIT University students a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months, 3 months ago. And this was for a group of students who were trying to prepare themselves to compete in a national competition, cybersecurity competition in Australia. So we had a workshop around reverse engineering and assembly language learning for this group of students. And we tried to encourage more girls to come, not only girls and boys, university students, to get them more interested in this field. And yeah, these are some examples. We try different chances to help the skill gap.
Yeah, I would like to add some collaborations with AWS and Group.
Yeah. Australian Women's Security Network. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We know them well.
Yeah. So you know, they do a lot to encourage women to come into cybersecurity. And from my end, as a part of PSNC Group, we do lots of things to collaborate with AWSN. We even managed to run a showcase for graduates from any computer science fields, and also some industry vendors and companies who look for a passionate and interested graduate for their graduate positions or even internships. And it was a really good event, like 60 people were showing up, and we even find a girl for our pentester team,
right,
as a graduate pentester. And yeah, this kind of things can help people to can help girls to come into cybersecurity.
How do you find, say you run on the pen, you do pen testing as well, do you? Or you're just on application security?
No, I don't do pen testing.
Okay.
But it's a part of application security. They really closely knit it together.
Yeah, trying to find those vulnerabilities and...
Yeah, exactly.
Overcome them, yeah. The last question I had was, did you ever cheat in your exams at school?
We should have done that more.
Yeah, I agree. We should have done that more. We did a few times.
Ah,
I remember.
That's a loaded
once,
question, just for the audience.
I remember once I had an exam. I was not prepared for exam. It was it was an exam in university. And I asked my sister to go do the exam for myself, because it was, I mean, the lecturer didn't know that I have a twin sister, and it was a good opportunity, why not?
Well, you're both as smart as each other anyway, so it wouldn't really make any difference. I imagine the result would be the same.
Yeah,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, but the problem is we were always together, so it was a bit hard to find a course which I attended and she didn't attend, and vice versa.
We wish we could do it more, but it was just a few times.
Okay. Well, I was
maybe
always
in the future.
Yeah, I was always taught never confess to anything. So, but I'm glad at least you're honest to the point of being honest about cheating in your exams at university. But again, it's not like you were cheating. You were just sitting each other's exams.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have the same capabilities.
Yeah, it's not cheating, right?
It's cheating. It's it's called substitution, I would imagine.
Exactly.
Would be the correct term.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But thanks, Erin, for that question and putting the girls into the hot seat on that one. Well, look, Nagar Shabab and Nushin Shabab, a senior researcher with Kaspersky Lab, Nushin, and a application security consultant at PSNC Group, Nagar. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thank you.